Hello and welcome to World Music Matters with me, Alison Hurd, and I'm delighted to have the Irish traditional music band Altan as our guests on the show today. They've played at the Sydney Opera House, they've played at the Royal Albert Hall, at the Hollywood Bowl, they've played for President Clinton and President Bush, and today they're here in RFI Studio 51. Three of the five band members are with us. They're going to play live from their new album, Gap of Dreams. Mairead Niwini on fiddle and lead vocals, Mark Kelly on guitar, and Kieran Curran on bouzouki. Mairead, what are you going to play for us?
We're going to play you a selection of tunes from our latest CD, and the tunes are called Tullahan Lassies, The Cameronian, and The Pigeon on the Gate. So time to dance, everyone.
Hinta.
You've just played three reels from your new album, The Gap of Dreams. Tell us a bit about them.
These tunes came from very old fiddle players. Donegal, where I come from in the northwest of Ireland, is very well known for fiddle music, and the fiddle players were always getting music from the other world, hence the Gap of Dreams. So the Tullahan Lassies were obviously beautiful, because why would they play the tune if they weren't nice? They must have been good dancers, or they were well known for the fiddle players to go and play for them. Then the second tune was called The Cameronian, and I think that may have some English, you know, background to it, where people would have to go and join the English army. And the last tune was called The Pigeon on the Gate. These are all traditional tunes, but the people we got the tunes from, it was really lovely to go and meet them, and they would tell you stories. I learned this tune from the fairies one night. So that gap between this and the other world.
Is something that's really integral to the music that you play, the Irish traditional music, this notion of the other world?
Yes, because it brings you, you know, if you go back, we'll say 100 years ago or 50 years ago, people weren't that well off, so it was nice to have this option of, on a very cold night when you went into a very small house, that there was this other world to bring you beautiful things, and to bring you your music, even to bring you songs, you know, to give you that hope a nicer place.
So this really is uplifting music.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And the songs, some of the songs are sad, but it's more or less to lift and make joy and dance and, you know, in the community especially, make everybody come together in the one house and have a joyous night.
Mairead's daughter Nia plays the fiddle and my son Sam plays the concertina, and they go out now with their own friends playing tunes, and it's really nice to see that passing on from generation to generation, as it has done, you know, over the years.
Yeah, so you've hooked the family in, and those two youngsters, actually, they've written a couple of tunes, haven't they?
That's right.
Nia's Jig and The Beekeeper.
That's right, it's the opening track on the album.
And they came to Australia with us last year and played with us on stage, and they just got this experience as well as ourselves, so... Yes, they're getting the bug.
I mean, I take a risk in saying this, but to the non-initiated ear, when we listen to the reels, sometimes they sound very, very similar. I kind of think, what really distinguishes them? Can you help us understand?
Yeah, it's a very interesting point. There are very strong similarities with all the reels, and they would be the rhythm and the timing of the tune. But the subtleties of the music can perhaps escape people who don't understand it very well. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit like jazz in that way. You've often heard people saying, I don't understand that music, you know. But, you know, it's simply a matter of getting to know it.
There's a pattern. It's like a mathematical pattern. So it's in 4-4 time. And then within that pattern, you change the pattern slightly. So it's a little bit like the Celtic weave. You know, if you look at a Celtic drawing, it all looks the same, but look very intensely and there's little nuances of difference, and that's what makes the musician better, when they're able to make that pattern without too much notice, just to change it around. And it's like playfulness. It's great fun for us. It's improvisations, very small improvisations.
They are different melodies, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
So, each reel has a different...
And a different key.
Yeah.
And we always try to put different keys together in order to show people, you know, we start with in D and maybe go to A and, you know, depending.
Yeah, those changes of key can provide a lift in the middle of a set of tunes.
Share with us a little experience of the many concerts that you've given around the world.
Well, there was one time we were in London, and we were very, very young, and we had to take this train down to wherever the venue is. I can't remember the venue, but there was one person in the audience, but we knew we had to fulfil the contract, you know. So the man, he was sitting waiting for us to play, and we said, sure, it'll be a great practice anyway for tomorrow night's gig. So we started playing and he fell asleep. And then one of the biggest events, when we joined Dolly Parton in her place, Dollywood, Tennessee. And she invited us to record with her twice. But it was one of those moments where you were on stage with all these stars and we were just simple traditional musicians from County Donegal. So we kind of looked at each other saying, this is great.
And what happened in Houston, Texas, Mark?
Many things happened in Houston, Texas. I'm not sure I can tell you about them.
No,
all,
the string incident that you were telling me about earlier.
It was the humidity in Houston where, I broke about 6 strings on the bouzouki, and I broke
all my strings. We kept putting new strings on for the full concert. We were running off the stage and putting new strings. It was just massive humidity. Mm. You could stand on the air, you know.
Which you weren't accustomed to?
Not accustomed. Coming from Donegal.
Just a word about Donegal, because it's right up in the northwest of Ireland, you know, quite remote area. Mm-hmm. I've never been there. I've seen some pictures,
yes.
Mountainous, very beautiful, but really a bit out in the sticks.
It is.
And to what extent is your music very specific to that region? How does it link to the geography and everything?
It has a very specific accent, the music of Donegal. I can see that very clearly because I'm actually not from Donegal. I'm from Dublin. And I met Mairead, can I say how many years
no.
ago? It was a long time ago. But in Donegal, the music has a particular accent, and there's a reason for it, because traditionally there was no work in Donegal in the winter. So the people used to go to Scotland, which was quite close by, and they would hear the tunes and the songs in Scotland, and they would bring them back and play them in the way that they could. They would kind of Donegalize them. So it means that the repertoire in Donegal is quite unique within Ireland, you know, even within traditional music.
You talk about giving concerts in Australia. I mean, you've given concerts all around the world. How do you explain the fact that music that you began playing 30 years ago with your then husband, you know, has sort of morphed into something much more international?
Well, it's really amazing. You know, music just maybe breaks every barrier, you know. If you play music and if you present it properly, it's universal. So we go to Japan, and there's no Irish in Japan, I can tell you. And people still appreciate our music. I think they get the idea, you know, that it's handed down from generation to generation, and there's a lot of depth there. And anybody that is willing to accept the little nuances that are coming, you know, all the little stories within the music itself, not even literally, but feeling it, people get it.
And you play bouzouki.
That's right, yeah. There's one track on the album called The Piper in the Cave that we learned from Francie and Mickey Byrne, the Jarrocks. And the story is of a piper who went into this cave system in Ardra, hoping to find a way through to this other village in Glencolumbkill. He took his dog and his pipes with him, but he never came out of the cave, but his pipes did and the dog did, but he unfortunately didn't come out. So
that's a very joyful story, actually.
Talk about the feel-good factor of Irish traditional music. Of course, there is some sadness, though, right?
Mairead spoke about how, you know, how we can go to countries where they don't speak Gaelic or English, and yet somehow they manage to connect with the music. And I think what they connect with is the emotional content of it. You know, it can be joyful. It can be intensely sad as well. You know, Ireland has some very sad moments in its history. So there are some songs of emigration. And
so many people left Ireland during the potato famine, for example.
And so there are many beautiful songs around that type of loss. And, of course, love and loss. And it's all there, as it is in many traditions. But, you know, I think people can connect with the Irish experience as it's expressed through the music.
Song I got from a neighbour of mine, And it's one of the first songs I ever learnt, actually. But it's about a love story that happens in a wake house. So long ago, when people were waked, you know, when they died, they'd be laid out in the house. And it was a great time for young people in the locality to come together, because they would stay up all night with the body. Apparently, this is what you were supposed to do. But this man falls in love with O'Boyle's daughter. That's Nín O'Whaley.
Five years ago, I was in a music festival, in a folk music festival in Brittany, and various people were playing, including Sharon Shannon on the accordion, of course, a very famous accordionist in Ireland. And at the end of the session, it was about midnight, I was going back to my hotel, and I went in front of their hotel, her and her band, and there were no curtains on the window. And at midnight, they were in their hotel room playing. And I just thought, these guys are mad. How can you, at the end of a concert, when you're already sweating, you've been up on the stage for 2 hours, you go back to your hotel room, you pick up your instrument again, and you carry on playing?
I think if you'd looked hard, you might have found a bottle or two of beer there also, while the music was being played. There's every chance that happened.
No, well, what happens is, really, the music just doesn't stop on the stage. The stage helps us to make a living, but really, the music is like eating and drinking. It's part of what we are. And every day, we play our music at home, even with nobody else around. Or, if we meet our friends, we play music with them.
A way of life.
It's a way of life.
Mairead, Mark and Kieran, thanks so much for playing live, for sharing your music.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Irish traditional band Altan, ending this week's edition of World Music Matters. From me, Alison Hurd. Bye for now.